Hockey Sunday with you until the top of the clock. First hour was all about the Stanley Cup Final. We got a chance to speak to Paul Steigerwald. We got a chance to speak to Scott Burnside from ESPN.com. Now joining us on the line for a little bit of draft combine and prospect talk, Russ Cohen and Shane Malloy, co-hosts of Hockey Prospect Radio right here on SiriusXM NHL. You can follow them on Twitter, by the way, at Sportsology and at Shane Malloy. You can follow us here on Twitter at SiriusXM NHL and myself at Michelle Storino. Now, we've gone through a little bit more of the generalities and what goes into the draft combine and how, you know, important it is in order to really get to know some of these kids. But now I'm wondering about a guy like Patrick Laine. And a kid like him, you know, we've seen so many quotes over the last, you know, 3-4 months. And he's just oozing with confidence. Not only does he have the resume to back up this confidence, but now he's coming out talking more and he's being, you know, really out there. And I got to say, from a media standpoint, we love him. I love him. You know, how much of it is it a danger for him? Like, for instance, he injured himself a little bit earlier in the combine, and it's on that same reconstructed knee that he injured a few years ago. How much of that would you be worried about if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff?
I don't think that much. I heard it was just on the bike, so I think that's probably just more of a tweak situation. So I didn't get the feeling when I was there and I heard about it that it was any big deal. So I don't think it's going to affect him at all. And I don't really think he could affect himself negatively by talking a lot, because he's a fairly intelligent kid and he is entertaining. At the end of the day, he thinks he's the best player there, and that's fine. Teams want to hear that.
Yeah, and Shane, you know, you and I actually talked off air about this too. He almost has this overconfidence about him where he came out and said, you know what, in 5 years I plan to be, you know, like an Alex Ovechkin, and that Austin Matthews is kind of like a Jonathan Taves and I'm the Ovechkin of the draft. Like, you know, what do you take from that when you're either a scout or a general manager?
Well, I like the confidence he has in himself. And if you look through the history of hockey, and not even hockey, but in life in general, it's the people that are the most unrealistic. And they have specific goals. They have a plan A. They don't have a plan B because it deviates from plan A. And this is what they're going to accomplish, and they're going to figure out how to do it, and they're going to outwork everybody. And he gets, and you're so wrapped up in this obsession that, you know, he has that level of confidence that he go it to other outside people, he's delusional. But in reality, you know, he's pretty accurate of what he's stating. He's going to go out because he's going to find he's so fired up about it and he's so obsessed about it that he'll find an answer for any question or any, you know, difficulty he has along his journey through the NHL. Like, I'd rather have a kid who's like Laine than a kid who's going to hum and haw and he has a little bit. You got to fire him up a little. I don't want that type of player. I'd rather much rather have a player who is going to be reining him in. And be honestly, look at the numbers from minor hockey all the way to the NHL. What's the chance of a kid in minor hockey making it to the NHL? It's so ridiculously minuscule that if you become one of the elite of that draft class in the year you're born, you know, you have a little bit of cachet in to say, you know, to have that type of confidence that Laine has. I like it. I have no problems with it.
Russ, you know, I want to ask you about something that Shane mentioned right there, and the fact that if you kind of have to light that extra fire underneath some of these kids, maybe that is an indication that it could not be a player, or he may not be a player that suits your team and the mentality of your team. You know, in terms of the physical aspect, when you're at the combine, I know a lot of trainers look at that wind gate and the VO2 max. Those machines are just massive for that, because they want to see guys that practically, you know, they're throwing up while on the machine. Like, they want to see full on, you know, effort from these guys. You know, how much stock do certain exercises take part in, you know, the decision-making process for some of these guys?
Well, like the most overrated one is the pull-ups, right? They're just looking to see if a kid has any upper body strength. But at the end of the day, you don't have to do a lot of pull-ups in order to be a great hockey player. So that's one thing. But like the vertical jump, like Luke Kunin, you know, doing the best on the vertical jump, that matters because there's a speed burst factor for when you're skating, and they do look at that. The goalies, you know, the long jump, that's a big deal. Carter Hart did great with that. He was fantastic, and he was number one on the VO2. And for goalies, that's a big deal because, you know, now you're telling me he's got a lot of stamina and he's got a strong core. And so that's something where that's really important. The fact that he did well on pull-ups, that part for Hart, not as big a deal as the others.
Yeah, and, you know, just to follow up on that, who else – you know, impressed you? You know, you mentioned a couple of the guys and some of the numbers that they got. Who else really impressed you that might have, you know, raised their stocks a bit going forward to June's draft in a few weeks?
Well, somebody who was on my list, but not Shane, so we know whose is the better.
Oh,
defenseman from the Q. He actually was the number one guy for bench pressing. Now he's only a 5'10" guy, but they go by 70% to 80% of his body weight. And so he was the number one guy. Now, that's probably the most unlikely guy that you would expect, but it just shows how strong he is pound for pound. So that was pretty impressive. I thought out of everybody, that might have been the most impressive because we always look at small guys and say, they can't do it. Now, Lucas Johansson is somebody that everybody looks at and says, wow, he's a really skinny guy. And he was up near the top in pull-ups. And so, again, now a lot of times that's technique, too. I'll tell you, I was second in my class when you used to have the physical fitness test, and I only weighed 100 pounds. So the fact that he doesn't weigh a lot is definitely good as far as if you want to do a lot of pull-ups because then you're not pulling as much. Now, as guys get stronger, you can pull more weight, but so it could be a little misleading, too.
Yeah, Shane, what about yourself, you know, seeing some of the results and, you know, having your background and, like you said, you know, being part of that interview process in the past, who do you see has maybe, like, really how much can people move? How much can some of these guys move up the draft rankings because of, you know, good results on this test?
Other physical tests, and I think the one when you're looking at, for instance, the Wingate, and what you're looking for is effort. The guys who just will not quit and they just keep grinding, there is a mental toughness in that type of exercise. I've done it. It's awful. The VO2 is also awful.
Yeah, Shane vomited too.
Yeah, no, and I let her go. So coming off, I did the little stumble to the garbage can and off it went. But so I understand what the guys are going through. And what I'm looking for is effort. When you're getting right down to the end, you got to last 30 seconds. How many guys just really give it everything they have? Because that just goes back to your focus and mental toughness of not giving up. And that extra stride in an end of a shift can make the difference whether you get on a puck or you stop somebody in a puck battle or you tip a puck away. And that could be a goal in your favor or a goal, you know, that you stop. So those are kind of little things that I like to look for.
Now, I mentioned on Hockey Saturday, we got a chance to speak to Mark Fitzgerald, who is, you know, the head of Team ETS, who puts on the combine in Buffalo, but he's now a strength and conditioning coach for the Anaheim Ducks. Now, he couldn't really tell me what his team in particular was looking for, because that might give us all, you know, the edge in who they're going to draft come a few weeks' time. But, you know, are there some teams, do you have the up and up on a few different teams and what exactly they're looking for?
I mean, like, I cover Philly here, and some years I could peg them instantly and other years I can't, right? And so you don't know, but, like, as a guy, you know, as an example, like German Rupstoff, he interviewed with 26 teams. You know, Philly was one of them. But then Julian Gauthier, Philly wasn't one of them. And he interviewed with 25 teams. And you say, wow, what's the difference there? Okay, maybe they're looking for a center. Because certainly Julian Gauthier, if you looked at him, he looks like an Adonis. Like he might have been in the best physically looking shape of anybody there because his family's into bodybuilding, and so is he. And so you look at that and you say, boy, that's tough to tell. And then, you know, Boston didn't want German Rupstoff. Okay, so I guess they feel like they're strong up the middle. But you can't blanket that because a lot of things change when the draft starts happening and the board starts changing. So that's the biggest thing. They have to sort of adjust to the board. But it is funny, like some guys will interview, like Tyler Benson interviewed with 28 teams. The only teams that he didn't interview with were San Jose and Pittsburgh. Now, they may interview him after the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And that's the thing. We can't draw a full conclusion on this because those teams are a little busy right now.
You know, that actually, I'm glad Russ brought that up because that happens a lot where teams will try to veer other teams away. They'll say, oh, I guess they don't like that player because they didn't interview him. But they'll quietly interview him later or right before the draft. And then no one will get wind of it until it's, like, way too late. So, you know, there is some gamesmanship going on from that standpoint. So I'm really curious to see particularly what happens with Tyler Benson. It's such a bad injury and it didn't heal the way he, I'm sure they didn't, the way it didn't, you know, he wanted it to, and it may affect his draft status. So we'll see how that all plays out. So it's every year there's always a couple draft picks and a couple spots that surprise you. And you look back at what happened at the combine and then the interview process beforehand, and sometimes you can find some clues to figure out, oh, that's how it happened, but sometimes they're pretty good at just keeping it quiet.
With Russ Cohen and Shane Malloy, of course, co-hosts of Hockey Prospect Radio right here on SiriusXM NHL. You can hear them every Saturday and Sunday morning. A couple other questions before we let you go, gentlemen. We thank you so much for the time today. You know, you mentioned injury, and, you know, Laine got injured throughout the process. Puljujärvi didn't take part. You know, in terms of players not being able to either attend because of some other reason. I know a lot of the London Knights didn't take part as well because of the fact that they were still, I guess, celebrating the Memorial Cup, all that kind of stuff. Does that kind of put a hamper on their draft ranking or the whole process here, that they're not really part of the process? And Russ, I'll go first.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, Matthew Tkachuk didn't do anything there, but really all he has to do is show up at the draft. I think for some guys, maybe they'd like to have seen something, but if they can't, they can't. They've certainly scouted them sometimes 20, 30 times during the year. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But, you know, they do like to see some things, like Tage Thompson's a kid that's sort of moving up the list, and at 6'4", he's 195 pounds.
Wow, yeah.
And he didn't do great in the upper body stuff, but he says, I'm projected to be 215, 220. So he's already selling us on the fact that he's got a frame that you could put some weight on and some muscle on, and teams look at that too. So, you know, it's just it's an early indicator, like Shane said. That's really what it is. If someone's really on top of it and great, then, hey, great. But then there's also the school of thought where, hey, sometimes kids reach their ceiling now, and then there's other ones that have yet to reach there, and sometimes teams look for that too.
Well, Shane, I was just going to ask you, you know, does that mean, so for instance, a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who has been scouted 20 to 30 times because of, you know, I get the regularity of how scouts go to these games, does that mean kids that are coming from, you know, outside of North America, that this is all that more important to them to be part of this?
Well, it depends on what region you're in. I mean, obviously, each NHL team has multiple European scouts, and they, in large numbers, go and scout the tournaments. So those guys are viewed pretty much the same amount of time as North American kids. But perhaps sometimes the kids that come from more obscure areas, like the high school kids, maybe the junior A kids, who don't get as many views, there's an opportunity for them to sort of showcase a little bit and to get into the interview process and sort of build a profile for themselves. So it really depends on how many times you view the kid and opportunity for those teams to talk to that player. And, you know, of course the GMs and assist GMs want an opportunity just to sit and listen to, you know, get an idea, to get snapshots, because they read the reports and sometimes they get out to see the players play, but, you know, they don't have that same number of games to watch these kids as their scouts do. So that's part of the process as well. It's just about, you know, building a profile on a player and being investigators, because that's really, in the end of the day, that's all that scouts are. They're investigators collecting information and hoping that they collect enough information to make a correct decision on a player. And it's so tough because you're trying to evaluate a 17, 8-year-old kid into a 23-year-old man, and you might as well at times throw darts at a dartboard.
Yeah, exactly. One final question before we let you both go. Now that everything is essentially wrapped up and we're basically just waiting for the draft, what's maybe one thing you learned about, you know, one of these prospects that, you know, swayed you either way in their stock in terms of having them up the board or down a few pegs? Russ, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll go Clayton Keller because I feel like, you know, the excitement for him has just been building and building. And he was a little nervous when we talked to him at first, and then he sort of warmed up to everybody. And, you know, he basically thinks he's going to go to BU or possibly the Spitfires. He said he's 99% committed, so that was interesting. And thinks he'll play 1 year if he goes to college and then go right to the pros. And I love the enthusiasm for that. We watch him on the ice. He's great. And so he knows he's a top 10 pick now, but he can go even higher in the top 10. That's the fun part.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what happens with Luke Green. Young offensive style defenseman, St. John in the Quebec League. And he's a kid who has really showed how agile he was in a lot of his tests. And he was on top of the board on going left and right. So I'm curious to see what his interviews were like, and I'm going to get some feedback from a few of the guys that were there. And he's a guy that I'm curious to see where he goes on the board. It's probably, you know, early, mid, second-round pick, but over time, this is a player that might end up helping out a team in 4 or 5 years down the road.
And you know what? It's funny. I just thought of something. Quick question. Do you think we're going to have a change in draft age?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Russ and I have got into this for a long time, and we've been banging on this 19-year-old draft for a long time. So
yep.
I hope it really happens.
All right, gentlemen. As always, such a pleasure to talk to you. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time at the draft in Buffalo. Always a pleasure. Russ Cohen, Shane Malloy, of course, co-hosts of the Hockey Prospect Radio on SiriusXM NHL. Thank you so much for doing this, guys.
Thanks, Michelle. See you soon.
By the way, you could follow them on Twitter. At Sportsology is how you reach Russ. At Shane Malloy is how you follow Shane as well. They're going to be part of our NHL entry draft coverage throughout the 2 days that it all goes down in Buffalo. And I'm talking about June 24th, June 25th. We will have all your coverage, wall-to-wall coverage, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And you'll hear their fantastic voices along with the same old folks here at the station, myself as well, and I'll get a chance to chat with them at length, especially on that Saturday, rounds 2 to 7. Myself, Nick Alberga, Shane, Russ, we might have some special guests as well if last year's any indication. So, you know, we've got your coverage of the 2016 NHL entry draft, and it will star those two gentlemen you just heard. Coming up after the break, I can't believe the show is already over. We're going to wrap things up, and I can't believe it. I'm still at a loss for words here. We're going to wrap up the show and send you off for the remainder of the weekend. And, of course, game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final as well is Monday. I can't wait. I'm already thinking like, wow, this is a quick turnaround. Let's do this right now. But we only have to wait another 28 hours. This is amazing. Hockey Sunday concludes right here on NHL Network Radio.